Today, the United States signs a free trade agreement with much of Central America. It's described as a sort of NAFTA for Nicaragua, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. The Dominican Republic joins later. This agreement will make it easier for U.S. textile firms to send their products to Central American clothing factories. It'll make it easier for Central Americans to sell their finished products here. It may also cost some American jobs, which is why the plan faces an uncertain future in Congress. The American who will sign the deal is U.S. Trade Representative Robert Zoellick. He says the deal should benefit the U.S. and encourage democracy in a troubled region.
Today, we have $32 billion of trade with these five fragile democracies and with the Dominican Republic. And the main benefit of this for them is having a stronger economic relationship with the United States through trade and investment.
We call this a free trade agreement, of course, but it's not unlimited free trade. Number of industries and products are off limits or limited. Why?
Not really. Every product is covered, and there's only one that's limited in terms of its liberalization, and that's sugar. But we will open up for the U.S. exporters 80% of manufactured and consumer goods on day one, and the rest become liberalized over the course of 5 or 10 years.
I realize that any agreement is a compromise, and that's why I want to ask about the one exception that you mentioned there. The U.S. domestic sugar industry is very highly protected against overseas imports. That will continue to be the case. Central American companies can send some sugar to the United States, but not very much. Why did sugar get excluded from this agreement?
Well, whenever you do any of these agreements, you can't make the perfect enemy of the good. I mean, we have to be able to pass these agreements. You have to put together coalitions. In the case of sugar, there's no doubt it's a compromise because you have a lot of sugar producers in a lot of different states that are very sensitive. And look, you know, as you may know, they're opposing us even for this opening.
Although this does create an opening for people to say, as they are saying, well, the Bush administration says it's for free trade, but when you get down to some difficult questions, you're not.
Well, I guess the answer is you have to look at the overall record. This president fought very hard first to regain the president's trade negotiating authority, and it's something that his predecessor had let slip over the course of 8 years. We've now completed free trade agreements with 11 countries, and we've got 10 more that are launched. And remember, when we came in, we had free trade agreements with 3 countries. So that's a pretty active record. But look, you've got a lot of economic isolationist forces in this country. As you know, the president's opponent opposes CAFTA because he's afraid of trading with poor people.
Well, let's talk about that. John Kerry, the Democratic nominee for president, has criticized this agreement.
He's done more than criticize it. He said he'd veto it.
He has said that there should be greater environmental safeguards, that there should be greater safeguards for workers in Central America so that they're not given drastically lower paying jobs that used to belong to Americans. In Nicaragua, the per capita income is $480 a year. How do you integrate fairly an economy where somebody makes $480 a year with the most advanced economy in the world?
Well, first, let's be honest. He stated his position at the Teamsters Convention, and that I think gives you some guide about what his real purpose was here in terms of labor and environmental standards. But if you say that people have a low per capita income and therefore we can't trade, well, that's going to block out trading with much of the world, and it's going to stop poor people from being able to sell to the United States. I assure you, when I talk to people from developing countries, they say just the opposite. They say, look, you've got a powerful U.S. economy. How can we compete with you?
Is it fair to say, setting the politics aside, and I realize we're in the midst of a presidential campaign, is it fair to say that an agreement like this does create pressure for some American jobs to go away, for some people to be hurt?
That is based on the illogic that trade is a zero-sum calculation. Expanding trade doesn't take away, it creates additional growth. I mean, look at it this way. Would you rather have poor neighbors in Central America that constantly cause trouble, or would you rather have people that create businesses and buy from the United States? The fundamental illogic of that position is that you lose a job as opposed to creating growth and a virtual cycle of opportunity.
A few years ago, people were talking about the possibility of a free trade agreement of the Americas, the entire Western Hemisphere covered by a free trade agreement like NAFTA. I wonder at this point, 3 years after you started this job, is it a little bit frustrating that you're having to do this country by country, or in this case, the Central American free trade agreement, a few countries at a time?
Well, actually, we set out consciously as a strategy, what we called competition and liberalization. So we're far from ignoring those other points. We're working on multiple fronts at once. And it goes back back to the political point you were referring to. It's hard to fight something with nothing. It's best to stay on offense. And so what we've been trying to do with free trade agreements in Latin America, Asia, Africa, is to keep trying to move the agenda forward. And we'll have people criticize and fight these, but I'd rather have them be criticizing as we're moving ahead than creating economic isolationist measures in the Congress.
Once you've signed this free trade agreement, once you've brought in mm-hmm. the Dominican Republic, the sixth country which mm-hmm. will be involved in it, you send it to Congress. Is this agreement likely to be voted on in Congress before the election in November?
This CAFTA agreement will have a lot of opposition. It'll have opposition in part from some of the sugar interests you mentioned, and in part because many on the opposition side have decided that they want to oppose free trade with Central America. You can be the judge of why. I think it has a rather protectionist impulse. So, you know, we have to be able to put together a coalition to support it in the time left, given the fact that we're trying to move forward a free trade agreement with Australia, which is a little bit ahead, maybe one with Morocco. This one may end up slipping into 2005.
So maybe not before the election, a vote in Congress.
I suspect that's very likely.
Ambassador Robert Zoellick, thanks very much.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Robert Zoellick is the United States Trade Representative. We spoke to him yesterday at his agency's offices here in Washington.